Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Matthew chapter 5, our last in the series on influence, verse 13 says this, "You are the salt of the earth." Who's talking here? Jesus. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness," which is where we're going to get tonight, "how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Then he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Not only does he call us the light, he tells us to get to the highest place or the most influential place and shine. Somebody say, "I'm under the influence." Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them, "I'm salty." Turn to somebody else and tell them, "I'm lit." Oh, that meant something completely different than it used to. Praise God. You may be seated in the house of God. As I was diving back into this and realized before I bring you a series, I'm in it for a couple months as God is preaching it to me and I'm writing things down and studying things. And so I believe this is our sixth or seventh installment. So I've been in Matthew 5 for the last 4 or 5 months. As we look at this, I'm always revisiting the text throughout the week to keep it keep it fresh in my mind. And I came up with some questions that God was asking me. Questions like this: if the only preacher that your friends or family ever heard was you, would they make it to heaven? If the only word they ever heard preached came from your mouth or was exemplified from your life, would it be enough for them to turn to Jesus and embrace him? Another just thought that a lot of us claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, and if we are real followers of Jesus Christ, like Paul, as we follow Christ, there should be people behind us following us as we follow Christ. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," meaning this: if you make it to heaven and you turn around and no one's behind you, you led a very selfish, selfish, faith-filled life because it was all about you making it. But when I get to heaven, I want there to be people greeting me at the gate that said, "Thank you for your words. Thank you for your life." I want to be able to meet people at the gate after I go on to heaven that come through the gate that are saying, "Thank you for your life. Thank you for your words." And I'm not talking about as a pastor. I'm just talking about as a saint, as a believer, as a follower. You in this room, when you said yes to Christ, not only did you say yes to his promise, you said yes to his call. You said yes to pick up the cross. You said yes to deny self. You said yes to be salt. You said yes to be light. You said, "God, I will live my life and use my life in such a way that people will follow you because they saw the difference that you made in my life." Somebody say amen. Influence is the action or process of producing effects on actions, behaviors, or opinions. Actions, we want holy habits. As you follow Christ, you're going to develop holy habits. Do you know I'm 41 years old and I've come to church so much on Wednesday night, on Wednesday morning when I wake up, it's never a question. I wonder if I'm going to go to church tonight. It's a holy habit. You know when hell breaks loose in my life? And I'm going to tell you, hell breaks loose in every faith-filled person's life at some point. When hell breaks loose, do we have an exhibit behavior that is different than the world? You remember what it was like when you got bad news B.C. before Christ and you let four-letter words fly. You'd put your fist through a wall, but now you've got righteous reflexes. Now you automatically call on the name of Jesus. You start praying. You start declaring the word of God. You start rebuking the devil. You start pleading the blood. That's a righteous reflex. And now his truth overrides every one of our opinions. Our opinions do not matter. Our opinions do not matter. Our opinions will not save anyone. Our opinions will not heal anyone. Our opinions will not deliver anyone. But the truth that is Jesus Christ can and will do all of those things. Before you can influence, you must be influenced. We're all influenced by something. I want to be influenced by Jesus Christ. It is not just enough. If you only spend Wednesday night and Sunday morning around Jesus, that is not enough time to be influenced by Him. That means you are spending more time with another influential source. And so it's got to be more than a church expression. It has to be a daily relationship. Jesus could have used anything to illustrate the influence that we have, but He said, two ordinary things, salt and light. And I'm glad that God chooses the ordinary, because if you're like me, when you look in the mirror, you don't see anything that's extraordinary. You just see the ordinary. But God says, if you will give me your voice, I'll use it. If you'll give me your life, I'll use it. If you give me your hand, I'll use it. So we've talked in the last few sessions that salt flavors, that salt causes thirst in people to drink from the living water. Salt preserves, salt cleans. Last week, light illuminates. Light makes it possible for us to see. Light makes the invisible things visible. We talked about when the world sees us, what do they see in us? Who does the world see in us? We see in the Word of God that not only is Jesus referring to His Father, God the Father, when the disciple asked, we want to see Him, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. But He would also go on to say to the Pharisees who were saying one thing and living a different way, He said, you're of your father, the devil. Which led us to the question, when the world sees us, which father do they see? Which daddy do you look like? We shouldn't have to have Maury Povich to figure out who your daddy is. We should be able to see by the words that come out of our mouth, by how we live in front of people, how we live behind closed doors. You know, there are children who are shocked every Sunday morning because the mom and dad they see in the pew is a lot different than the one they see in the kitchen. I said Sunday. I didn't say Wednesday. You're good. You're good. What father do we look like? And we ended talking about contrast. The difference Jesus has made in our life, it's the greatest testimony we have as believers. But salt and light, we as the salt and light of the world, we influence two ways. Salt and light make a difference by being different. There are too many people that are trying to fit in to the world, and we've become so much like the world that the world does not see the difference in us. Remember, to make a difference, you have to be different. That means you cannot respond, react, behave, talk, and walk like the world to win the world. You have to be able to say, I am different enough that you recognize that something or someone has made such a difference in my life that I'm not how I used to be. See, when you go to the high school reunion, unless you were a tongue-talking, saved person in high school, when you get to the reunion, they should say, there is something different about you. Oh, it's summertime, which means you're going to be going to the cookouts and the family reunions. Can I encourage you, when you show up at the family reunion, there should be something so different about you that you don't fit in with them anymore. They feel uncomfortable around you. They can't talk like they want to talk, do the things that they want to do. If people come over to my house, they can't not only smoke in my house, they can't smoke on my property. You say, man, that's good. Part of it's because it's so dry at my house that it'll burn the whole field up. But when you walk into a situation, church, remember, if you are a follower of Christ, you have followed Jesus into that situation. You have followed Jesus into that dinner. Young people, you have followed Jesus onto that football field. You have followed Jesus into that locker room. You have followed Jesus into that job, onto that work, that work floor. And now here you are, and we want to fit in. You cannot fit in. The Bible says, Peter said this. He said, you are different. You are a peculiar people. You are chosen. You are royalty. You are a priesthood. Don't act like a peasant when God has called you to be a priest. Why would you want to act like a peasant when God has blessed you and favored you like a priest? David, you're king now. You can't act like everybody else. You can't live like everybody else. See, some of us, we want the kingdom and we want the authority, but we don't want the responsibility. Understand this, you can't have God's favor without God's faithfulness. You can't say, God, I want this and this from you, but God, I can't give you that. Understand that when God calls you up and God calls you out, there is a responsibility we carry as an ambassador of Christ that, God, you have blessed me in such a way, there is no way that I can blend in and fit in. You're different. If you come to Living Way for 1, 2, 3, 4 services, you are ruined for life because now you know just enough Jesus that's not going to let you bump in the club and have a good time like you used to. You know just enough Jesus that you're not going to be able to light up on the back porch like you used to. You know just enough Jesus that you can't bump that music that you used to. You've got just enough Holy Ghost that is now convicting you. You can't be the light and choose when you shine. You can't be the salt and choose when you flavor. You are either in or you are out. Salt and light, making a difference by being different. Second way that salt and light has influenced church is salt and light makes a difference by being present. Now I know I'm preaching to the proverbial choir tonight because you're present. As anointed as you are, if you don't show up, it doesn't matter how anointed you are. I don't know who the 12th man on the roster is for Denver. I don't know who the 12th man on the roster was for Miami. Probably Udonis Haslam. But if the 12th no-name from the Denver Nuggets shows up in a game and LeBron's not there, it doesn't matter how good LeBron is. I'll take the guy who showed up. There's a lot of us that love to talk about, I'm anointed, and then we hide it. We love to talk about all the things that God does, and then we hide it. We don't mind talking about it in the courtroom. We don't mind talking about it in the hospital room. We don't mind talking about it when we're trying to get a loan. But I'm here to tell you, we must be present if we are going to make a difference. And I'm so glad that you are present here, but we need the same Sunday you on a Monday out there, the Wednesday you on a Thursday out there. It's not enough to shout about it here. It's not enough to wear the label here. It's not enough to say, I've got the flashlight. We need people to be present to make a difference. You showing up is half of the battle. You showing up to your work tomorrow. You showing up to people that don't believe like you, live like you, walk like you, and you showing up as the salt and the light, that is half of the battle. Showing up and being present. To make a difference, we have to be different and we have to be present. But Jesus cautions us and says, that even though salt and light are influential, we can lose our influence. Jesus warns them and says, if salt loses its flavor, if salt loses its ability to flavor and preserve, he talks about as good as the light is, it can still be put under a bowl. God says, I will do all I can to make you salty and to shine through your life, but it is up to you to magnify your flavor and to magnify that light and not hide it. Over 50% of the U.S. claims to be Christian. That means 50% of the U.S. claims that they have been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. That means 1 out of every 2 people you go to school with, 1 out of every 2 that you run into the supermarket in, 1 out of every 2 that are driving crazy on 35. Half of everyone you see go to a Spurs game, 8,000 out of the 16,000 claim to be Christian. They claim to be salt and light. Just a reminder, a little salt goes a long way. So if 50% claims to be Christian, why doesn't the 50% of the nation that is Christian have a bigger influence on the 50% of the nation that doesn't know Jesus. Simply put, church, because they have lost their saltiness and they have hid their light. They have enough salt to flavor their food, but they'll let the world go hungry. They've got enough light in their house, but they'll let the world die and be damned to eternal darkness. I am here to encourage you. If it's good enough for your table, it is good enough for the world. If it's good enough for your house, it is good enough for our city. We should not be keeping it back for us. We should be salty, and we should be lighting the world at all times. Why is it that a small percentage of our nation that identify as homosexual and trans, why is it that they have the influence that they do? It is because they are visible and they are vocal at all times, and I knew it'd get quiet when I started talking about that. So if they're going to be visible and vocal, I don't need them to shut up. I just need for the 50% believers to rise up and be visible and vocal too. Not just on a Wednesday night, not just on Easter Sunday. I want us to be visible every street corner, every job, every neighborhood, every part of town, every place should have all of us visible and vocal. Visible and vocal. It's not, and I know this seems self-serving, it's not your pastor's job to win your job, to win your work, to win your school. I got a barn 30 miles from here. That is another church for me. That when people come to do business there, I can pray with them. I can shine the light. You know, here's one way that I shine the light. About every other week, somebody says, hey, I'd like to come look at horses. But the only time I have available is Sunday morning. I say, Sunday, I'm not available before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Wednesdays, I'm not available at all. Why? Because I'm preparing for this night, and I don't want to be out there with manure on my shoes and on my boots, rushing back here with a canned thought. No, I need to be in here praying and getting ready. I am here to encourage you today. Your job needs the salt. Your job is your platform. Your job is your pulpit. Main Street is your church. That is where we need people to be visible and vocal. And I could get up here and tell you, we need you to be visible and vocal when it comes to the ballot box and how you cast your vote. But if we were visible and vocal all the other times in the 4 years, we wouldn't be complaining that nobody's visible and vocal one Tuesday in November. I don't need you to be loud once every 4 years. I need us to be loud. I need us to be shining. I need us to be salting at any moment, all day, every day. Somebody say all day, every day. Turn to your neighbor and tell them all day, every day. We as believers have to become visible and vocal everywhere and at all times. Influence is lost two ways, more than two ways, but there's two ways that I believe encompass everything. Number one, influence is lost by compromise. By compromise. Compromise is the mixing of two sides, two ideals, two philosophies, policies, thoughts. We talk about, well, you've got to compromise. If you're going to have a successful marriage, you've got to compromise. I believe that in marriage. But when you became married to Jesus, it wasn't a compromise. I moved in with him. I took his name. I started living like him. What are you eating, Jesus? That's what I want to eat. How are you talking, Jesus? That's how I want to talk. But there's too much compromise in Christianity. Even the word compromise is when you add three letters to the word promise. And some of us have compromised by living one way here and living a totally different way there. We allow a little of the world's flavor, and we put a little of our salt with it. The problem is anything other than God's salt, it messes up, pollutes, dilutes what God is doing. We bring a little bit of what the world is doing into our life, a little bit of what the world is doing into the way we think a little bit. Listen, that's why I make a concerted effort to preach and teach this numerous times, because we got new believers. You can't pray and burn sage at the same time. You can't talk about Jeremiah 29:11, that God's got a plan for your life, plans of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You can't do that and then go and look at your horoscope the next minute. You can't talk to God and then talk through a Ouija board. And now they've got a Holy Spirit board. It is straight occult. I don't care what they call it. You cannot mix the world's flavor and the salt that God has called us to be. We cannot mix. You cannot mix darkness with light. And I see so many popular preachers. And that's the problem. Preachers have become popular. We've made it look so good. And we haven't talked about the sacrifice. We haven't talked about the high calling. And we've made it so appealing that people that are not even called now want to have the office of a pastor, not knowing that the salt and the light that God calls us to, and He calls us to live in such a way that we cannot mix with anything else. Anytime you compromise, you dilute at best and pollute at worst the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salt is a sodium chloride. It's a very stable chemical compound. Pure salt, listen to this, church. This is science now. Pure salt can never lose its saltiness. It's when it is combined with other elements that it loses its saltiness. Perhaps it's the friends you're hanging out with. Perhaps it's what you're allowing in your eyes and in your ears and in your spirit that has caused you to not be salty. When Jesus was talking about the salt of the earth, in Jesus' day, the people got their salt from the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is so salty that they tell you don't dive in it because it is so thick. It's not like water that is unsalted. You cannot drown in the Dead Sea unless you're face down, because there's so much salt in it, you literally float. But when we talk about salt, when Jesus talked about salt, He wasn't talking about the kind we get out of our shaker. He was talking about water that carried salt, and so they would literally purify the water out, and what was left was salt. But the salt would leach out, leaving behind a white substance that to the eye looked like salt, felt like salt. But when you tasted it, it wasn't salt. Pastor, I'm doing my part to make a difference. You might be saying the right things. You might be doing the right things. But if you don't have the salt, if you don't look, if you don't have, and you just have the looks, it doesn't matter. It was impossible. It was possible for this impure salt to lose its saltiness. And when it did, they would throw it out. The second way we lose our influence, church, is by isolation. You are not created to live life by yourself. You're created to have relationships. You're created to have friends. Most people were created to marry, to have children. Being around people, having them influence us and us them, that's what we were created for. However, the enemy loves to isolate. Remember, salt by itself cannot accomplish what it was created to do. Salt never needs to be salted. Salt is salt. Salt only accomplishes its created purpose and value when it leaves where it is and goes where it is not. Salt cannot do its work until it finds a place that is unsalted. And most believers, we will go to those places, but we will not give them, because we've misunderstood. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Listen, you've got salt. Let it all go and salt the places God has put you in, and give them a reason